Folks, the staff here at IC, the lovely people that I work with, the crazy bunch. Friday, I'm walking about the hallways rather aimlessly. And one of them asks me, seeing my aimless wanderings, says to me, "Is your homily ready?" I said, "Monday morning, you tell me whether I was ready or not, right?" I thought in my head, I have a mother, I don't need other mothers. But I didn't say that to her. And then she says to me, "You better have it finished, mister." Okay. There's a reason why I was aimlessly wandering the hallways of our rectory. The reason is, what do you say about the Trinity? Every year this feast comes, I said, "Oh my gosh, it's the feast of the Trinity." Later I said to the staff, I said, "You know, I'm finding it difficult to write something." I said, "This is the most boring feast in the church." I said, "This feast is like blah." That's how I put it. But I was only partly kidding. Sure, I struggled, and I struggle every year. But the significance of the feast is really brought forth when you think about Lucas James here today. Why is this significant? Not merely because we baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit. But it's about we believing that him and all of us are made in the image and likeness of God. This is true. Each one of us created in the image and likeness of God. And if we really want to know who we are, if we really want to know who this little child is, then we've got to know the image. We need to know the likeness in which we are created. Because if we do not understand God, then we don't understand ourselves. And we understand God as Trinity. And if that is true, that God is Father, Son, and the Spirit, yet one person, then it says much about the kind of people that we are called to be, the kind of world the world is supposed to be, the kind of creation that it is supposed to be. And so the more I thought about it, I realized, darn it, this is not really a boring feast. It's actually a feast that has great significance because of our connection with our Creator. So let us take time to understand not only God and God's nature, but actually celebrate God and who God is. Because when we celebrate who God is, then we celebrate who we are. So here are the three things that I would like to say about God, and then what it means for us. First of all, God, Scripture tells us, is eternal. And so are we. Today's first reading from the Book of Wisdom talks about the personified wisdom. Wisdom is personified, in other words, is given a personal character and nature. In the Old Testament, this wisdom is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was there at creation. In the New Testament, Jesus is also associated or even called the wisdom of God. So the wisdom of God could be either Jesus or the Holy Spirit, but that's not the point of today's reading. The point of today's reading is that no matter how we understand wisdom, wisdom was there before creation happened. whether it's the Holy Spirit, whether it's Jesus. This wisdom of God was through whom that everything came to be. That tells us that God, as Father, as Son, and Spirit are eternal. Now the word eternal, it's not part of our normal human experience. In fact, it's the opposite that is what we experience most of the time. We have been at funerals. We know people pass away. We know everything passes away. And we know that one day we too will die. So what we touch every day is mortality. So today's feast, the significance of it is this, that even as our normal experience is that of mortality, this feast puts us in touch with the immortal part of our being. Our souls are eternal. Yes, our bodies will die, but there is this person who we are, created in God's image and likeness. We are eternal. And our destiny is eternity. So what's the practical implication of this feast? That we live today and every day, keeping in mind the immortal nature of God into whom we are invited, in whose image we are created. And this means we must live carefully, that we must live meaningfully, that we must live prayerfully. Our lives in the here and now must reflect our immortality and God's eternity. And so Tim and Megan, I don't know what you signed up for, but Lucas James will have to grow knowing, this is the responsibility that parents have towards children, that no matter how he grows up, that you're constantly showing him where he came from and what his destiny is. Secondly, God is relational. So first, God is eternal, so are we. God is relational, and so should we be. The second point is stressed in the gospel reading today. The way Jesus talks about the Father and the Spirit and himself, there's so much of mutuality and relationality. Jesus says, even as he speaks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, he also says, everything the Father has is mine. Everything the Father has is his, and he then entrusts it back to the Father. And he says, I'm going to go away, and the Holy Spirit will come and be with you. So this relationship that Jesus talks about, there's so much of harmony. That's the important word, harmony and mutuality. And this harmony and mutuality and relationship is not inward looking. So these are not three people who are inward looking, but their relationship gives expression in the form of creation. How beautiful the world is, huh? How beautiful creation is. And today's first reading from Wisdom says, and the human person is at the center of it all. And when you look at the sheer beauty, when we look at all the splendor of creation, the intricacy, the sheer genius which we see in creation, it's a reflection of the mutuality between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, our origin, and this is so key, our origin lies in the relationship between the Father, Son, and the Spirit. If they were not in a relationship of mutuality, nothing would have been created. So we have to find our origin, who we are as people. We owe it to the Father and the Son and the Spirit. And I think sometimes we human beings forget that we are relational. And we are connected to each other. We forget, we often emphasize the differences. But really, every human person on the face of the earth, we're all connected with them because of where we come from. I was very saddened last week. You remember the Trayvon Martin case in Florida. Do you know that the weapon that he used to kill Trayvon Martin was actually put on auction? I mean, come on. And what do you think the final price that it fetched? $250,000. The auctioneer had taken this weapon off the auction because of, you know, but they called it a national artifact. And at one point I read that this weapon, there was somebody willing to buy it for $65 million. Come on. I'm not debating the legality of the case. All that is not outside my purview. I'm merely saying actions like this create disharmony, and this is not who God has made us to be. We are born out of the mutuality, the harmony, the relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the significance of today's feast lies in the fact that it reminds us of our relationality, human relationship, human family, human community. Indeed, all of humanity should mirror the image and likeness in which we are created. If we live in harmony, if we do like the Father, Son, and the Spirit, what's going to happen? Beauty, just like creation. Splendor, peace, and love, and goodness, and creativity. These can flourish. But if we don't live in the harmony, then we'll only destroy each other. And thirdly, so first, God is eternal. Second, God is relational. Thirdly, God is love. And so are we. Often when we look at creation and human life, it is hard to see how it reflects the God who created them. We look at human beings and say, really, for all the war and violence that's going on, do you think we've really originated from God? But that is true. We have come from God. Human life, as I say, is very similar to the Christian story. And the reason I say that is, if you go to any church, especially if you go to any Catholic church, what you see is the crucifix. And somebody who does not understand Christianity at all might look at the crucifix and say, my gosh, that's actually terrible. That is brutality. That is cruelty. And yet if you talk to a Christian, the Christian will tell you that that brutality and cruelty that Jesus endured, that is not at the center of the Christian story. At the center of the Christian story is a love story. Is God's eternal, unconditional love for us. That is the center of the Christian story. So even though our symbol tells us, might say something very different, or at least show to the undiscerning person, at the center of the Christian story is God's love. And that's always the case with us and our world. Yes, human beings sometimes do not reflect God's image. Yes, sometimes our world is full of violence and war, yet there is a lot of love in the world as well. I mean, look at this. Isn't this love? And many of you have done this. We know what love is. God is love, and so are we. Even if part of us is mortal, even if part of us is not relational, even if part of us sometimes forgets to love, the bottom line is that all of creation and each one of us has been redeemed by our triune, unconditionally loving God. And this God calls us to live in love. So this feast is very, 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 very significant. I think it's a feast that is connected to who we are as people. So very soon we will baptize Lucas James in the name of the triune God. Very soon the bread and wine will be brought forward, and the Father will send the Holy Spirit to transform this bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Trinity happens every Sunday on the altar. As we participate in the redeeming action of this triune God, may we live in the image that we have been created. People of God said, Amen.